It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan, but is it really a good afternoon? The country just keeps getting worse and worse. We're in an international embarrassment now when it comes to dealing with migrants in this country. We're like chickens with our heads cut off. We want to get your reaction to everything at 085 100 2255. I'll tell you what we're going to be talking about in a second. But by the way, can I just mention there's a statement out from the government today, and it says a joint operation between the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth and the Department of Justice and Garda Síochána, Dublin City Council and Waterways Ireland, as well as probably a bunch of NGOs, which they didn't mention as well. The purpose of the operation is to ensure the safe movement of people seeking international protection from tents on Grand Canal to International Protection Accommodation Services, IPAS designated accommodation. The IPAS designated accommodation has toilets, showers, health services, indoor areas where food is provided, facilities to charge phones and personal devices, access to transport to and from Dublin City Centre, and 24 on-site security. When did the Irish ever get that, by the way? When we were, talking about a housing crisis going back 5 or 6 years ago. It's like we're pulling all these things out of the hat. Costing, of course, billions to the Irish taxpayer every year, when 80% of those people, and I was down there yesterday on the canal, by the way, 80% of them shouldn't even be here in the first place. There was a, just briefly before I went to today's topic, when I was down in the canal yesterday and I was talking to a few people, there was an international agency doing a documentary and they were talking to some of the migrants. And I couldn't help but overhear because I was standing beside them at the time, taking photographs and all sorts of things and doing a video, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes ago, which TikTok removed because it breached community standards because I'm talking facts. Anyway, basically what they were talking, they were asking them why they were here. And there was one guy, he was from Pakistan and he was living in England and he had moved here only 3 or 4 days ago. And he said the reason he came here was he wants an apartment. And they said, but you're probably not going to get an apartment. You do realise that. And he says, no, I'll get an apartment. My friends told me I'll get an apartment. So they're convinced they're going to get an apartment. And he also said he didn't want to stay in England because he didn't want to go to Rwanda. Now, there was no, by the way, there's no reason for him to go back to Rwanda. He can go back to Pakistan if he wants to, by the way. There's nothing stopping him going back to Pakistan. It's not a dangerous country. So many people go on holidays to Pakistan. It's whatever you floats your boat. But there are parts of Pakistan that are quite dangerous. There are like parts of every part of the world that are quite dangerous. But, you know, parts of Pakistan are quite safe and safe to be there. You know, so I don't understand why he's afraid of going to Rwanda. Just go back to Pakistan if you don't want to go to Rwanda. But the point is, he's an economic migrant. And he thinks by coming here, he'll get an apartment. And you know what? That's the kind of message we're sending out, isn't it? In other countries of the world, you'd be thrown in jail, by the way, for entering a country illegally. In Ireland, you know, we'll give you accommodation, we'll give you food, we'll give you money. And I'll tell you what, if you move into a place we don't actually like because the residents think it's a bit of an eyesore, we'll offer you even more money. Because that's what they did yesterday. They offered asylum seekers even more money to move away from Grand Canal Quay. They upped the game a little bit. Your money, by the way, taxpayers' money. This madness has to stop. Because you know as well as I do, there'll be another 100 people come in the next 3 or 4 days. Where are they going to go? Are they going to find accommodation for them immediately? Or will they just pitch tents somewhere else along the canal or up off Henry Street or in the Phoenix Park or somewhere? I've seen some moron, by the way, some political moron, I won't name him, suggesting that we should set up a whole campus in Phoenix Park. It's huge, you know, full of tents and services and everything. Are you mad? That's a public park. It's Ireland's public park. Actually, it holds the record for being the biggest enclosed park in Europe. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want an eyesore in the middle of a public park? Some of these politicians are mental, by the way. They really are. I mean, look at the people I'm up against, by the way, because as you know, I'm running for Europe in the Dublin constituency this year. Some of them don't even know how many genders there are. They don't even know what a woman is. I mean, this is the madness we're dealing with in this country. And they're going to represent you in Europe. And they're quite happy. Most of them, by the way, did their kind of video shoots down around the IPAS Centre in Mount Street at the time going, oh, isn't this awful, isn't this awful? They created the problem. They're the very ones who went, all are welcome, all are welcome, you morons. Anyway, speaking of this, I don't want to scare you, right? But the crime rate in Ireland has increased. There's no doubt about that. And if you're looking at the papers there the other day, shocking footage as Gardaí recover automatic rifle believed to have been used in a gangland-style shooting. Joseph Itzel was shot dead in what locals described as a Wild West type shootout that played out right outside a school in the early hours of Monday morning. Now, this has become an all too common sight in Ireland. The Gardaí recovered an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle believed to have been used in the Drimna murder. And it also, I believe they found a pipe bomb as well. So here's the thing. We're seeing more and more of this. And as the population increases, with people from all over the world, including our own Irish as well, by the way, who are tooling themselves up, we're seeing a more dangerous society. In Ireland, we don't recognise. There was a time in Ireland where somebody died or was killed in a murder. Very rarely would happen in Ireland. But somebody was murdered. And the whole town would stay indoors until they caught the perpetrator, because we consider this to be something really unusual in Ireland. But not anymore. Not anymore is it unusual. It's becoming more and more common. So the real question has to be asked, when you've got a situation like that, and let's say that happened in the middle of the day, and, you know, the first responders on the scene are going to be, you know, the rank and file Garda Síochána, you know, in a police car and or a Garda car. And they have nothing but a nightstick and a hand with some skin on it. And there's the, you know, the perpetrators of the crime, be it a bank robbery or a shooting or whatever it is. And they're loaded up with, a semi-automatic rifle or a pipe bomb or whatever it happens to be. Or a knife, which is becoming all more common in this country now, knife crime. I mean, what are the Garda Síochána meant to do? They have to wait till the ARU gets there. And the ARU might not be available immediately. It might take them a little while to get there, depending on what part of the country they're in. I mean, this is lunacy. So how do we deal with that when we have people saying, well, we don't trust the guards with weapons? We're very unique in Ireland. We're one of the only countries left in the world, probably, at this stage, where the Garda Síochána or our security services are not armed. Only certain sections of them are armed. But is it time to do that? Because I'm not going to try and frighten you here, but Ireland is becoming and is becoming a lot more of a danger, a lot more dangerous than it has ever been before. And we need to fight fire with fire sometimes. There's an argument that if we tool up the guards, of course the criminals will tool themselves up even more. But is that the answer? I mean, if we start to do it now, we could train guards properly in the next 5 to 10 years to be able to deal with these types of crimes that are becoming more and more common. So what do we do? Do we do it? And by the way, many of these gangs are from abroad. They're not even Irish. And many of them are Irish as well, by the way. We have our own Irish gangs too. So what should we do? Should we arm on Garda Síochána? Should rank and file members of the guards, like in Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom, and many parts of the United Kingdom, of course, they're not. They're the standard constable of the bobby doesn't have a gun, but some of them do. And in Northern Ireland, they are all armed. In most countries in Europe, they are all armed. So should we arm the Garda Síochána? Should they all have, you know, a weapon? And I'm not talking about a taser. I'm talking about a gun. Let me know what you think. The number is, as usual, 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Lorenzo, welcome to the madness.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Lorenzo, sorry for keeping everybody in. I'm Bernie and Lewis. I'll be with you in a second. Lorenzo, I don't want to see an Ireland with guns. I really don't. I was in Henry Street there yesterday. You know, I could look at Ireland with rose-tinted glasses and say it's not the Henry Street I remember. But in saying that, it's a changing country. So do we need to arm the guards?
Well, we got a kind of experience because a couple of weeks ago, my wife, she went in Dublin for a concert on a Friday night with a friend. And she was saying that she was kind of scared to walk in Dublin. Like, I mean, she said that she felt unsafe because by the kind of people that were walking around, the amount of drugs, people of on drugs or totally drunk. She was even kind of scared that the only people that were walking around were not the guards, but they were like the guys with the, you know, the reanimation or the first aid kits.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy. They shouldn't be them. They should be the police as the, you know, going around, not them. I mean, there is a spike of crime everywhere, and it's even due to the kind of lack of authority that governments are pulling out nearly everywhere in Europe. I think Italy is, if Ireland is the last to be armed, I think Italy is the first for number of armed police, I believe,
mm-hmm.
Because we have the Carabinieri, we have the Guardia Finanza, we have the state police, we have the local police, we have the private police as well that is armed. So we have a lot of armed securities around.
Yeah, all we have is we have detectives are armed in this country, and yeah, also the ARU. Yeah.
So I think that if you want to arm the guards, they have to be basically, obviously, well equipped, totally well trained. And I think they should be, they have to need a backup from the government and the law, because there's no point
I mean, it does work well in some countries. I mean, I know America is not a great example, okay, because people get shot, innocent people get shot on a regular basis. Mind you, it's a massive population. But Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland is a good example. In Northern Ireland, as you know, the police, the PSNI are armed. And when they walk around the streets, they do command a certain level of authority because, you know, you're not going to mess around in front of somebody with a gun, in the, you know, in their holster, you know, in their
You know, I mean, as far as I know, in Italy, it depends on where you are. Because I had friends from Rome and they were saying that they were feeling more secure and more and safer in Rome than in Pisa. Because in Rome, the police were like, okay, you're there, do the job, do whatever you need. While in Pisa, they were like, oh, no, wait, you have to see the situation and wait and see and report. And there were too many heads, if you know what I mean, to decide what to do. While in Rome, where they were like, if I'm the policeman and you are my supervisor, I have to do what you say, full stop. While in Pisa, you had your supervisor, and then there is their politician, and then there is the politician's head or something. So there's a lot of conversation before I can do something, and by the time you tell me what to do, there's totally different situation. It's not anymore like two guys.
Do you agree Ireland is becoming it's not the same country it was 30 years ago.
I can see it's not the same country that I was when I was in high school that I came here to study. It's totally different.
Yeah, I think we have to, you know, there's a lot of challenges there for the Garda Síochána. And, you know, by the way, most of the Garda Síochána, 95% of them are good men and women who want to do a good job. There are 5% who are complete assholes, right? But most of them are good people who want to do a good job. But I think, you know, sometimes they're limited because I certainly wouldn't want to arrive at the scene of a bank robbery or a kidnapping or a violence where people are armed and all I have is a nightstick. You know, that's not...
That's no sense.
Well, do me a favour, stay there because I want to go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm Brian Niall. I just feel that the army are not underutilised and they need to be with as a support to the guards at the moment. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should be on the borders checking people at the airports and at the terminals, ferry terminals, bus terminals, because our country has gone to rot.
Yeah.
And it's not what we want. And something has to be done. And our 95% of our government are idiots. And they don't listen to the people, as we know. So we have to think of something. And that's the only thing I can think of. You know, to call them back from the Lebanon. This country is in a dire need of urgent getting it back to some shape of safety and normality for our citizens.
I had a conversation with somebody today in relation to this whole thing. And sadly, the words that came out of my mouth is I think we're gone past the point of repair. But in saying that, look, collateral damage, we could, you know, if we really got our shit together, we could arrest this situation right now and make something of it. But I think I do believe a lot of damage has been done.
I know, but at the same time, Niall, it's not unsalvageable.
Salvageable, yeah.
Thank you. Because I really feel that the army need to step up. We have an Irish army that has been here and they haven't had to do anything. Unfortunately, our borders are compromised now. So we need the army to help us.
I asked this on Twitter the other day and the majority of people said they would like to see, you know, police back on the border, say at Newry or where Monaghan or wherever it happens to be, right? But there's a whole political row over that. I mean, it's not just a case of sending some lad up to stand in the middle of the road with his hand up stopping traffic to see who's in your car. I mean, we all remember that from the 1970s and 80s. And, you know, I think the moment that happens again, I think we're in trouble. You know, because firstly, the unionists are not going to be too happy in Northern Ireland, nor the Republicans will be too happy if we put a border back up, a hard border again.
Well, I'm sorry, Niall. I want to keep the country that we have safe.
But here's how you do it, Bernie. I've said it already. Here's how you do it. You agree when you meet with Northern Ireland. We've already heard that Hannah McEntee hadn't even contacted Michelle O'Neill last week. There was a conversation that she hadn't even contacted her, right? When this whole thing came up with Rishi Sunak, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, there should be an agreement now between Ireland and Northern Ireland. We should sit down around a table, have an agreement that Northern Ireland, in conjunction with the Republic of Ireland, have, you know, checkpoints at Strann, at Larne, at Manchester or George Best Airport and Belfast City Airport. So, and also at other ports. So there should be some sort of communication between the two to set up some sort of border control down the Irish Sea, essentially.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that idea, but it's not to keep talking about it. We need to do something now. Stop putting our fingers in our ears going, it won't happen to me, we'll be fine, I'm down here, I won't. It's happening. I've seen it. We've heard it every day for the last 2 years. It's happening. We need to do something about it okay. Now. We are the people.
And that is one reason we're having this conversation today, because Ireland's population is changing. It's growing. I'm not blaming foreigners for everything, by the way. There are a lot of Irish people out there with guns, too.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of us. So do you arm the guards, Bernie? Are we at a point now where we have to say this kind of uniqueness that we've had in Ireland, that we've never had to arm the police force? Is it time now, you know, that we say, we face the challenges and said, look, this can't continue, unfortunately. It's a much more dangerous country now.
I mean, my dad, as you know, was a guard, and I know that they ran, they jumped, they were in riots, they were beaten, he was shot on the border. He didn't have a gun, and he still managed to keep the peace. And I only come from that standpoint. My father and his colleagues, who were fantastic, who weren't highly educated people, who read the crowd, went in amongst the people, who walked around the beat every day, knew the people who were maybe a little bit of trouble, went and spoke to the families. They did it peacefully. We don't seem to have that anymore. They're not allowed because of all these stupid rules. Oh, I'm not allowed to talk. I can't say that. I can't do that. We've gone so... I just feel it's lost. Like, what we had, I don't see coming back. But arming police... Is that what we want for our society?
Yeah, but your dad didn't have to go in to a situation, you know, that we're seeing a lot of guards going into now. You know, when you've got that situation, for example, where that it was basically a shootout like the Wild West, and you've got a lad with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, you know, the guards don't even have them. You know,
but they were on the border. They were up there every other week on the border, and they were shot at, and there was bombs going off, and they were down in O'Connell Street, and the bombs, they were everywhere. They were down at the riots in Portlaoise. They were everywhere. They didn't carry guns. They defended their country to the best of the peaceful way they knew. And I only can live from that point. Mm. And, you know, I was there when Richard fell. The first guard shot that I remember is in early 70s, that Richard Fallon at the AIB there beside Heather's.
And I remember that actually, because I was working in Heather's at the time, Heather's Shoes.
Yeah.
I was the manager of the shoe shop, believe it or not. and I remember that shooting. It was just beside the bank there in Aaron Key.
That's right.
But who was the guard that was shot in St. Anne's Park going back a few years before that? Oh, his name will come to me in a few minutes. Maybe they wouldn't have been shot if they had a gun. I don't know. You know what I mean?
But they still maintained they still maintained to keep Ireland safe.
Yeah, but it's a different period.
Sorry, Lorenzo, go ahead.
I can see her point of view, but it's not the same period anymore.
Yeah, sorry, Garda Reynolds was that guy's
education
name.
Education has changed. And you can see in kids.
Yeah.
I mean, at the park, I have like 8 years old, like bullying my 3 years old kid. That is unacceptable.
Mm.
Because that means that the parents didn't do the job and didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It is a changing Ireland. The next generation of this country, Bernie, you know, and I hate to say this to people because it scares the living bejesus out of them, but in 20, 30 years' time, you will not recognise Ireland. It's a changing country. It's not the same country. And I miss that too, Bernie, because I look at Ireland and Dublin with rose-tinted glasses, you know, sometimes. When I was walking through yesterday, I saw Moore Street and I didn't recognise it anymore. I don't, you know, all the dealers aren't really there anymore. It's just full of phone shops and takeaways. And it's just not the Dublin I remember. It's not the Ireland I remember. And okay, I have to move with the times. I have to understand that. I would love to have the old Dublin back again, but it's gone. I'm sorry, it's gone. And the same goes for crime. How many times are we hearing lately of people walking around the streets, Bernie, with knives in their hands? You know what I mean?
Okay, so what do you tell our 30-year-olds, our 40-year-olds, that I'm sorry, we couldn't maintain the lovely Ireland that we did? What did we do wrong? We worked hard. We paid our taxes. I'd like to know where I went wrong. So,
well, you didn't. No, you didn't go wrong, Bernie. There's people in that building in Leinster House. They're the ones who went wrong. They're morons.
Well, look at now. We were in charge of the country. We were working our arses off paying our taxes in the 70s, 80s, 90s and the 2000s. So we were working. Where did this all happen? When did it unfold?
Well, by the way, news just coming in here, okay? The guard, the wonderful operation this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, to move them again and put them all in. According to Dublin Live, new encampments have now been spotted being set up in Ringsend after over 100 tents were removed from Grand Canal. So now they've just moved.
You can't put up a tent. If I didn't go to a camping site, I'd be moved.
No, I know.
If I was to camp on the beach, say, in Ackle tomorrow, I'd be the guards would be straight down. You're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to stay in a tent camping site. So why is it so different? Why aren't they just told, no, we aren't. I wouldn't put a camp up or a caravan in O'Connell Street, would you?
No, well, stay there because I want to go to Lewis quickly. And Morris, sorry, I'll be with you in 2 seconds. Sorry, keeping everybody. Lewis, hi, how are you?
I am not, how are you?
Good, Lewis. Very quickly, Lewis, because I'm running out of time rapidly here today. But Lewis, should we arm the guards?
Yes, we should. This is the one reason I think we should arm the guards. Because it's young kids doing like stuff, selling drugs and like doing loads of things in town and going around with knives and everything like that. Now, because there's a thing I think Dublin has, a lack of community centres.
Mm.
Like, there's too many houses and too many apartments going in, and the council and the city council and the government are taking away those community centres like Crosscare, Luke and Youth Service. Like, they're taking away Crosscare, like some places in Crosscare. They've taken away the one in Dunleary, and they've given him a small like room. It's the size of your living room towards your kitchen. It's barely a room.
So what you're saying to me is if we don't give young people something to do, they get bored and turn to crime.
Yeah.
But Lewis, when I was a young fella, we didn't have that many community centres. There was one about a mile away from me. We didn't have that many community centres, but we didn't go around wrecking the gaff.
I know, but like some people are doing it. Some people are going into that crime, young age of crimes. And I think if like parents want help, like for those.
Okay, I don't necessarily completely disagree with you that we should be spending more money and time looking after young people and nipping the crime in the bud before it gets to that point, right? But here's the real thing. You know, we are in this position we are right now where there is gun crime, knife crime. It's becoming more and more common. So is it time that we then said, well, okay, we need to arm the guards because they're walking into some dangerous situations?
We do know because some of the guards I see in town are really trying like my side. And I think like it's sort of like when I'm looking at that, I'm saying, okay, like it makes me sad looking at the guards. They're like about my size and like about your size and other things like that. And they can't like defend like people like with weapons and attacking because the guards are afraid to lay a finger on people in case they get done for harassment. And I think like everything has changed like because people have sort of like we're losing our free speech and hate speech, like, you know, as you said before, you said it on your podcast many of times, and you said you don't want to lose hate speech or anything like that. And I think, Niall, the governor trying to put this in, like, ban hate speech, they're trying to ban everything from us.
Okay, I do get the point you're making. I'm sorry I'm really short of time, but Lewis, I appreciate you coming on the air as well. Let me just go to Morris as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? I couldn't believe it when I heard the weapons that was found, an AR-15.
Yeah.
That's a weapon that's military hardware, right? And that's what's being used in these mass shootings in America when they go into the schools and kill innocent children. Every weapon has been an AR-15, and they're easily adjusted to be automatic. That was semi-automatic.
Yeah.
You just do a couple of things to switch it up.
Yeah, you know more about that. When you were in the army, obviously, you'd know more about that than I would.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, to say the guards couldn't come up against that. Now, we did have a guard that was killed up in Castlebar. You remember when his gun was taken off and another local man shot him and he was having what he said, a whole called psychotic episodes. So nowhere is really safe. It doesn't matter what you're having. Somebody's willing to take you on and get your gun off you and take your life. Look at that man had 15 bullets put into him. Horrendous.
And that, by the way, that comes down, I don't want to cast aspersions on the poor guard who lost his life. But what I'm saying to you is that comes down to training as well. You know, you obviously never
put. Much so.
Yeah, when you're a guard or when you're part of the defense forces and you're armed, you're trained and you should be trained, of course, to never put yourself in a situation where the assailant can take your weapon off you.
Exactly. How was he to know he was walking?
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like, of course, if the civilian had got shot, what's the guard doing with a gun? If he hadn't got a gun, he wouldn't be killed.
Anyway, from what I remember, he went to the door. It was a domestic violence incident, from what I remember, wasn't it? I think.
No. This was a fella that was running a motorbike up and down the main town.
What was the one? There was another one there.
Up in Castlebar. The one in Donegal. I up in Drogheda. That was a domestic scene. And he shot a guard. Yeah. It's horrific. But that kid that died on the streets of Dublin, whatever happened to him, he was already out on bail for a drugs offence. Okay. He should have never been out on bail.
Okay, I can't go into that case too much because it's currently under investigation. But no, I get the point you're making. Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead and gone. So if you're locked up, you can't do any damage. But he paid with his life. If you live by the bullet, you die by the bullet. But I'm telling you, if this is the tip of the iceberg now, because like, I remember the Dunn family who brought drugs into this country for the first time. They're all dead and gone, Larry Dunn and all his brothers. And they said, you think we're bad? Wait and you see what's coming after us.
Yeah.
Well, look what's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Hang on, Morris. It's a changing, I mean, Bernie and myself were talking a few minutes about changing Ireland, right?
Yeah.
And it is a changing Ireland because you've not just got the Irish tow rags with their weapons. You've also got gangs from across the water who are now coming here as well. They've all loaded themselves up with knives or guns or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And you've got guards arriving at a scene. You know, maybe it's a shootout, maybe it's a kidnapping, maybe it's a bank robbery, whatever it is. And the first responders are never armed.
I understand that. I think they should have more ERU units on the road, emergency response.
I said ERU.
Yeah, but the guards have a training shooting range up in the Wicklow Mountains near the Army one. And I've often seen them up there when I was in the Army. And they're highly trained men, you know.
But you're never going to have enough ERU. What was that thing there in Donegal going back about 3 or 4 years ago where some lunatic was walking around the town?
The Hunter.
Yeah. And the two guards that arrived.
He went mad.
Yeah, so those two guards arrived with nightsticks and, you know, a hand with skin on it, and they couldn't do anything about it. They had to wait for the ERU. If you're in rural Ireland, you can't be waiting an hour for the ERU to arrive.
Yeah. He was walking around with a hunting rifle firing off because he'd done something that he shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And he paid the price for it. He got locked up.
Yeah.
But that's a very rare occasion. Well, having a young bloke on the streets of Dublin in a gang with an AR-15, and now he's noticed gangs around that are not from Ireland as well, and they're carrying machetes for protection. A machete would kill you in one swipe. That's a 19-inch blade in a gabin, and it take your life. And they're carrying these down their trousers.
Well, hang on. Stay there, Morris, with me for a second, because, Angela, I know you've only got a few minutes.
Cheers.
Stay there. Yeah. Angela, hi, how are you?
I'm good. Arm them. Give them everything they have. Do you know how many countries in this world don't have armed response police?
Well, we do have armed response police, but they're not all of them.
Yeah. Don't have armed police.
Very few. Very few.
20.
Yeah, 20. I know. It's very few. We are quite unique in that situation. And we've always tried to keep it that way because, look, we were a peaceful country.
Yeah, we were. Exactly. We were. But do you know what? When you look at it, and I'm sure now, Morris, you'll probably agree with me 50-50 on this, right? The army that are there now, okay? With the army that are there, the young fellas going in, would you trust them? Would you trust them outside? Because I can tell you, I know one or two of them inside there. And every time they're even called a silly name, they're running to HR. They're not like you, Morris. They're not like the old army that were out there. Hard men. Hard men is what we need out on the streets right now, you know?
Brannigan type.
You know, and the way I look at it is, right, it should be brought into law that if you are caught filming a guard, you're arrested. Good luck.
I know, hang on. With the greatest respect, I don't necessarily agree with that, Angela, because there are situations there's been so many situations, not particularly here, but certainly in America and the United Kingdom, where guards, a small percentage, I'll grant you that, you know, who don't work within the law, have, you know, shot people, killed people, assaulted people unnecessarily. And without the video evidence, we would have never had proof of that.
But that's all on their own video cameras. They have all of that, right? But the thing is, Niall, right? We're not America and we're not the United Kingdom. We're Ireland, where every time, and it's the only thing it's becoming like is the second you're pulled over in the car, phone. You know, phone straight up. Why are they doing that? If he's not to hide. I've nothing to hide. You want to pull me over 20 times a day? Pull me over 20 times a day. I've nothing to fucking hide, right? And that's what really sickens me. But what people don't seem to realise, right, when you don't have a Garda in your family, when you don't have a Garda as your friend, and I'm saying this and people laugh at me when I say it, every time your husband, brother, uncle, grandfather is a guard, walks out that door, you don't know if he's coming home.
No, I know. I know. And I've said this before. I wouldn't be a guard for all the money in the world. It's not the job I would choose to do.
No.
I wouldn't walk out every day and put my life in danger. But that's what they choose. No. That's what they choose to do. A fair play. Yeah. Sorry, Morris. What are you trying to say to Angela there? Go ahead, Morris.
Yeah, Niall, I was just thinking about, you mentioned Mirror Street. I told you before on one of your radio shows, I was in Mirror Street with my son who has special needs. I actually was 27 yesterday. Happy birthday, Kevin, if you're listening.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
And my wife and Carol and myself. And we were in Mirror Street and we didn't feel safe. I'm an ex-army man and I didn't feel safe in the very street where the surrender of this state to the occupiers happened in Mirror Street. The surrender happened there and men fought and died for freedom for Ireland. And I did not feel safe in Mirror Street because of what I seen. And I got my wife and my son out of there. Now, you've been in there and you said it's gone. And it's gone for the worst.
It's gone.
Yeah, when I was there yesterday, you know, myself and Karen were there yesterday, and what I was saying was, and I don't want this to sound wrong, but it's not the Moore Street and the Henry Streets that I remember.
No,
I've been in there quite a lot, but obviously just I took no more note of it yesterday. And I am saying maybe I'm looking at that with rose-tinted glasses, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm kind of reminiscing a little bit. But I would like to see traditions being kept.
If you went in on a Saturday and a Sunday, it's worse.
I used to love going into Dublin. I'd have all my shopping done, right, for Christmas. All the shopping's done before. And I used to love going in there for one day, having a browse around, getting in the Christmas atmosphere. I was scared to
get your cheeky Charlies. Get the last of the cheeky Charlies.
Get your selection boxes. 3 for €6.
Yeah.
You know.
You want bangers, love. You want bangers, love.
Yeah. What was that poor lady on Moore Street with the very large lip? What was her name again? Oh, everybody knew her at the time. Oh, they used to give
her
an awful time.
Rita or Rosie?
She used to sell the bananas anyway. Yeah, they used to sell
bananas. Yeah, she was from Cabra.
Yeah.
I think she only passed there recently, Niall.
Okay.
Yeah, someone mentioned
her. But the point of all this conversation, this reminiscing conversation is, you know, you have to accept, I have to accept, we all have to accept, Ireland is not the Ireland it used to be. And there are more dangerous people in Irish society, be they Irish or be they foreign. There's foreign gangs coming into Ireland as well, tooled up, you know, with foreign weapons, et cetera, et cetera. So the point is, when the guards are going out there unarmed, the majority, and usually, as I said already, when an emergency happens or something happens, the first responder on the scene is usually not an armed guard. You know what I mean? I mean, what are they?
Arm every second guard. If there's a patrol of guards going out, one should be armed, and that would help.
Yeah. When I applied for the guards and the prison, going back there, 15, 20 years ago.
This is when you lied about your leaving cert.
Yeah, that was for the prison, not the guards. But
Angela, I'd let you beat me up.
15 BC.
Go on, 15 BC. But you know what? When I was going for that, a good friend of mine, you know, works in the defence, and he works in the prison. And he had said to my mum and dad, if she had a choice, tell her go for the prison. Because you have the backup in there. Within 2 minutes, you have the backup.
Well, and it's highly unlikely a prisoner is going to be armed.
Come here. Oh, no, they will be. But you know what?
Well, knives,
When you were saying there about ammunition and everything, right?
Yeah.
If you look at it, going back a few years ago, there was a rocket launcher. They found a rocket launcher that was for one of the gangs in Limerick. And what they were going to do is they were going to launch the rocket at the prison van that was transporting him.
Wow, wow. Well, okay, but hang on. If you want to stay there, Angela, you can. I know you've only got a few minutes. I know you have to go anyway.
Yeah, I've got a few minutes.
Okay,
all right.
John, hi. How are you, John?
Is that you, Niall?
It is, John. Hi, how are you?
Lovely. I'm great. Everything is good. It's a difficult one to call about the armed police because I think in America, a lot of people get shot and shot dead who are not serious criminals. But the trouble is that the guy is coming at you with a machete and he's half crazy and, you have to stop him. So I suppose a taser is good if it works generally. I wouldn't probably arm everybody. But then again, I spent a lot of time on the continent and all the
people. Yeah, a taser's not much use if some lad is standing in front of you with a gun in his hand.
Yeah, no, but I think you get a lot more, you get a lot, and you give a lot more respect to a guy with a big gun and a holster in Spain or France. You're less inclined to give him any grief. Now, if he's not armed, you'll have a go at him maybe, and just out of sheer malice. And then there's a big claim goes in, and the taxpayer pays for his poor policeman's injuries and all that. So it's a difficult one to call. But England, of course, is the only place like us that doesn't arm all the police. I just don't know what the answer is. But
if it was your decision tomorrow to either arm all the police or not to arm them, would you arm them?
Yeah, maybe police anyway. I see them going around in twos now, a lot, the few ones that are appearing in the city. And I would be inclined to arm the groups of two. Because
give them one gun between them?
No, but if one guy on his own gets attacked, there's a fair chance that somebody will steal his pistol. You know,
and that shouldn't happen, because guards should be trained for not to happen. You know, I mean, there hasn't been, like, if you take Northern Ireland, there hasn't been many cases of individuals stealing the guard's pistol and shooting them. I'm sure there might have been one or two over the years, but there hasn't been that many. And very few innocent people have been shot by the PSNI, as far as I know. Very few innocent people have been shot unnecessarily. So what I'm saying to you is, in Northern Ireland, although Northern Ireland is not a great example of peace, unfortunately, over the last 30, 40 years. But Northern Ireland Police Service, you know, at this moment in time, currently, are a reasonably good example of, you know, how to use a gun without going around shooting innocent people. America is not a great example, unfortunately.
That's true. That is very true.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Stephen as well, if I can, because I'm trying to get through as many people as I can here today, because so many people are very interested in this. Stephen, it is a very changing Ireland. John says maybe not, you know, maybe it might not be the best idea, tasers maybe or whatever, I don't know. But we really realistically have to have this conversation, Stephen.
Well, here we are having the conversation, and I'm sure and I hope at least that, you know, the people in Leinster House and people like that are continuing to have these kinds of conversations. I'm fundamentally against arming the guards because it keeps perpetuating the escalation, you know, and we start carrying, you know, semi-automatic weapons, they'll carry automatic weapons. If we get, you know, this is a quote that I gave to your researcher from, it's actually from Batman Begins, and it's just like, we carry semi-automatics, they carry automatics. We wear body armor, they get body armor piercing bullets, you know.
So how do you tackle the obvious increase in crime, increase in population? And I'm not just talking about gangs from abroad. I'm talking about Irish gangs as well, by the way. I'm not going to make this about foreigners, but there is obviously gangs from abroad coming into Ireland who have, you know, AR-15s or whatever it is they have. So how do you tackle, and we're seeing a lot more knife crime, for example, as well, which was a very common thing in England going back a few years ago as well. So how do you tackle that when you have first responders who have a nightstick and pepper spray at best?
Well, the very first thing you do is you hire more Gardaí, you train them up to be, you train them with better training, and you keep them on the streets. And if they don't make it through Templemoor, then they don't make it through Templemoor. But, you know, you hire as many people that are willing to become Gardaí and who are, you know, safe to become Gardaí.
Do they not just become cannon fodder then for the weirdos and gangsters out there? I'm not, by the way, Stephen, I'm not suggesting we suddenly turn around tomorrow and order whatever it is, 12,000 weapons, because that's as many guards there is, and hand them to each one and go, there you go, off you go now. You know, what I'm saying is, the new guards coming in now at Templemoor, that there should be now part of the training, you know, for obviously the use of a firearm, how to protect yourself, how to keep your firearm away from the assailant, all that, so that we have a guard of force going forward. I'm not suggesting handing every single guard now.
That's not a bad idea, you know, and then if they decide to progress into armed response units and so on, then, you know, the training intensifies and so on.
Mm.
But, you know, as it's been said many times, and it was in the comments of the post about this, is that if you make Gardaí carry a weapon, half of them will leave the force automatically.
Do you think so?
Well, that's what the guard representatives are saying. You know.
Yeah, I suppose. you see yourself as a bigger target when you have a gun. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, look, the PSNI and the British police seems to do it okay.
When you pull a knife on somebody? What happens when you pull a knife on somebody? If you're carrying a knife and you pull it on somebody, you've immediately escalated the situation and created a bigger threat to the person in front of you and to yourself. And you do that with a gun, and it gets even worse.
But there, they don't even but yeah, but there's a strict code of conduct to carrying a weapon. I mean, if you look at other police forces, you know, well, maybe some of them are not abiding with the rules, but many police forces, there's a strict code of conduct before you can remove that weapon from its holster.
Okay, but, you know, how many times have an armed response unit in Ireland shot somebody without them being armed?
Well, you know, yeah, okay.
George Intenko in Blanche, for example.
Yeah, well, the classic case of that was that poor man in, I think it was actually, you were telling me, McKennedy, actually, wasn't it? If somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, because that name has been on everybody's lips over the last week. But what was his name again? Oh, it's going back about 20 years ago. The man had mental health issues. He had a rifle right in the house. The Gardaí surrounded us, the Garda marksmen and everybody at the time. We didn't have the ERU at the time, but they surrounded the house and they shot him. It was unnecessary to shoot him. Everybody knew that at the time. There's a huge investigation into it. I'm trying to remember the man's name. But anyway, I mean, that was completely... Then we had the Athy bank robbery, which was another classic example, where guards arrived, armed guards arrived, and shot each other. You know what I mean? So you couldn't have made that stuff up. But that's bad training, Stephen.
Why would we willingly create a situation that could only ever get worse and lead to more people dying when we can do what the police are supposed to do and police the streets, gather intelligence and try and put a stop to crime before it happens and react as appropriately when it happens.
But I'm still saying, when we talked about the hunter earlier on, Morris, talking about the guy in Donegal who lost the rag one night and decided to walk around Donegal, the streets of Donegal with a semi-automatic rifle in his hand, shooting randomly. He could have killed people, but he didn't, thankfully. The first two guards, I spoke to an eyewitness at the time on the radio, and the first two guards that arrived there were on the street guards. So they essentially had to hide behind the doors of the police car and try and shout at him to talk him down. So that's no use. The man could have killed a load of people. Now, they would have to wait for the ERU to come. Now, when you're in Donegal or you're in rural Ireland, in Clare or Sligo or whatever it is, you know, it's all well and good if you're in Dublin. The ERU will be there in 10, 15 minutes. But if you're in rural Ireland, the ERU are not arriving for an hour. You know what I mean?
You recruit more, and B, even in Dublin, it takes a lot longer than 10 minutes for an armed response unit to turn up. You know, you recruit enough people, you wait until that person runs out of bullets, and then you try and disarm them. You know?
Yeah, but
I mean,
it's all well and good to us saying that, Stephen. I've never been in that situation where you're standing there and somebody has a knife.
None of us ever are.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, hang on. Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Jane as well. Jane, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Good, Jane. You heard Stephen, you know, okay, look, let's train a few more to have guns so we have a better ERU that are available more often and in better place, you know, easier to get there, et cetera, et cetera. But he wouldn't necessarily agree with arming the guards, because once you start arming the guards, you know, the criminals will have more guns.
Well, look, it is. After what happened in Newtown and Kennedy, I wouldn't arm the guards at all, and I certainly wouldn't do it under Drew Harris.
Okay, because you don't have any faith, you don't have any trust in them as a force.
The guards, in general, could be trusted. A lot of them are good people, but they're being pushed out, and they're being pushed out of the system. More and more of them are leaving because of what's happening, and Drew Harris is a result of that. Even though there was a 98.8%,
by the way, almost 99. Yeah.
Yes. That man came from Palace Barracks in the north of Ireland, which is also the HQ for MI5.
It's a different type of police servicing. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. Suitable. He should have never been used, never been brought here.
He cannot be trusted. Not one single percent can he be trusted. And I know for a fact from guards that I specifically know that he's recruiting out of the north of Ireland. And he's bringing guards in from the north of Ireland and from Scotland. So,
I think there's a level of desperation at the moment. They will recruit guards from anywhere they can at the moment, because they cannot replace the numbers that are retiring every year. They just can't.
Yeah,
we need 15,000 guards, and they don't have them.
If you import loyalists from the north of Ireland and from Scotland who don't like Irish people, you've got a problem on your hands.
Well, you will have a problem on your hands if you have hiring people with a grudge.
What happened is.
Okay, look, and I agree with you. What happened in Newtown, I believe, was heavy-handed policing. Absolutely, of course it was. And I'm not going to doubt that or deny that for a minute. From what I've seen, I can only go by the evidence of the videos I've seen, it was completely heavy-handed policing. We didn't see that in Trinity College during the week, for example, because, of course, they're all a bunch of rich kids. So what I'm saying to you is, going forward, when we look at the increase in crime in Ireland in general, forget about protests just for the moment, right? If we could just park that. And I'm with you on that, Jen, and I understand the point that you really are making. But look at Ireland in general. It is becoming a more dangerous place. Not just Irish gangs, you've got foreign gangs, they have weapons, you know, and the majority of guards that arrive on a scene don't have a weapon. They have a nightstick and pepper spray. So are we at a point in Irish history where we have to say, enough of this uniqueness of not having an armed force, that we must arm the guards? Are we at that point yet in history?
We're getting there. I do believe we're getting there, because crime rate has risen by 3%. The murder rate has tripled.
It depends on the crimes you're talking about. Some are even higher. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going to get any easier. And when you have an influxation of people coming in with no vetting, one guy was recently done there and he seemed to have 23 different names.
That's right. Yeah. In France and the United Kingdom, when they checked his fingerprints in Cork prison, he had 23, as far as I know, identities across France and the United Kingdom. The name they printed in the paper, they said they weren't even sure if that was his name.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I mean, this is the thing. They shouldn't even be given asylum status in this country, because once you seek asylum in one country, you can't do it in another.
I know, I agree. We deal with that issue every day in the show, and we're talking about it, and I completely agree with what you're saying. That individual shouldn't be in Ireland, should have never been allowed into the country. But
so when you have gangs coming in from all these different parts of Eastern Europe and Sub-Saharan Africa or whatever, you're going to have a serious problem. There's already a major amount of Black Axe Gang members in this country from Nigeria. There's a major amount of Armenian drug gangs and Romanian drug gangs that fly in and out constantly into this country. I know that for a fact because I live in inner city Dublin.
Yeah, and we've also, by the way, it's fair to say, Madeline, we've also got Irish gangs who are also using weapons as well. I mean,
yeah, well, you saw what happened out in Germany.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, described as the Wild West by locals. You know what I mean? I mean, imagine waking up in the morning and there's people outside, you know, with AR-15 shooting at each other with a pipe bomb. I mean, that's not the Ireland I remember. So how do the guards, Stephen says, you can't just arm every guard, but he does agree with maybe increasing the amount of guns that the guards have, the weapons the guards have.
Well, to be honest, I'd actually put the army on the street.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd do to control the situation.
And I think it would be really important to point out as well that if guards are being trained to use weapons, that they must be psychologically assessed. You can't just give weapons to some guards aren't suitable to have a weapon. I wouldn't trust them with a weapon.
No.
And Steve, I think that would be fair to say. It's the same as if you want to become a pilot, by the way. You have to be psychologically assessed on a regular basis. So, Steve, I think it would be fair to say that you would have to be psychologically assessed.
Absolutely. And that was the point I was making, that people that are deemed fit enough to get into Templemore, past Templemore, and are deemed fit enough to join the service should be joining the service and should be paid much better than they are, by the way.
I wouldn't disagree with that, yeah.
And also to just run a comment that somebody else made, you know, we do need better community and youth services and just community services in general across the country. You know, I trained as a community and youth worker, and having been in parts of the West, there's two or three community centres or youth centres for a place the size of Dublin. You know,
no, I do agree with you. It's better to nip it in the bud and catch Johnny when he's 12 years of age rather than him growing up to be 18 and a criminal. No, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the prevention is always better than the cure, and the cure can't be arm the guard.
But the problem is, and Jane raises a point there, that, you know, if Johnny comes in from another country, we have no control over the community services he might have had in whatever country he happened to come from. So we're now dealing with that issue as well.
If they end up coming across the guards and they end up, you know, either in a fight or in prison, then that's what happens.
Should they be, by the way, should people who arrive in Ireland from other countries, particularly outside of Europe, obviously we've an arrangement, the rest of Europe we voted for, should people from outside of Europe who commit crimes in this country be immediately deported?
Absolutely.
Stephen?
I don't know. It'd be an interesting one. I don't know. Yes, I
Why?
Would say
Why not? If I went to if I went to America and committed a crime, I'd be deported.
My only argument for not deporting them would be that it deprives the people in this country who the crime was committed against from seeing that justice is being carried out. Because if you deport them, there's no guarantee that they're going to end up in a prison in that country. You know.
Well, maybe there's a happy medium between you and Jane, and we can deport them after they serve their time.
Well, in the United States, they put them in prison and then they deport them afterwards. They serve
their sentence. But we did see, there was a story, by the way, in the paper during the week of one man who had committed a heinous crime, and the judge in the case gave him whatever sentence it was, I don't know how many years, 4 or 5 years or whatever it was, and the judge specifically said, on release, he was to be deported. He wasn't. He's walking around the streets again.
Well, that's a failure of services, obviously. But the prisons are at 150% capacity now at this stage. And it's not just Alan McAtee. It's the entire affecting government and the lack of ability within the civil service.
Sorry, Jane, go ahead.
Yeah. And all she does is
Alan McAtee is the Minister for Justice. She's meant to oversee the justice in this country in regards to law and what is done. And the deportations in this country is a joke. You know, people coming into this country are just laughing. They're laughing because it's such an easy system. If you don't have a hardline system like they have in the United States or they have in Australia, then they just walk in here and they do whatever the hell they like.
I mean, there was a huge amount of talk during the week about one man who came to the country who was a sex offender and on the register of sex offenders in the United Kingdom, but didn't register as a sex offender here in Ireland, even though the Department of Justice were aware of it. A failure on behalf of the Department of Justice, and they're now doing a full internal investigation into that. But nobody seems to have mentioned the fact that what he did in the first place by not making the authorities known that he was a sex offender is a criminal offence in itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you arrive from a country and you're a sex offender and you're on a register of sex offenders, you are meant to make that known to the country that you're going to. And most countries actually wouldn't let you in once you make that known. Like if you're going to the United States and you want to even go on holidays and you tell them you're a sex offender, you're not going. That's just the end of it. Yeah. You're not getting through immigration. But hang on, I got to go. There's loads of people want to talk on this. Thanks for that, Jane. Stay there, Stephen. Let me just go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. And again, I'm on the no side here of arming the guards. And now, the way I look at it, going back through the years, we know that there was parts of Limerick the guards would not go into. There was parts of Dublin the guards would go. And nearly every city, going back through the years, it was allowed to happen. And the reduction of guards and the visibility and the community policing and closing down the Garda stations, this is all, it's all coming to a head. The same with the HSE. You close down hospitals around, you know.
But you can blame Alan Shatter for that. You can blame me. Yeah, you can blame Alan Shatter for all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, okay, now we need to come up with a short-term solution and then a long-term solution. I would totally agree that every guard that goes into Templemore should be taught and learn how to use weapons. 100%. Everyone going in there should be taught. So that's the first thing. The other thing then is either you get more, the ARU, get more people into that, or you create some sort of a thing between the army and the guards that will be called something else, but that every unit that goes out there, there is an armed person with them, be it an army guy or with the ARU or whatever, but there should be some form of system there that they can go to the army and then have another section that would be kind of army and guards that you know, and create something else there like the ARU, but this has got to do with the army. If they don't have enough people within the guards themselves.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the army being out on the streets, obviously there's legislation would have to be passed in relation to the army being allowed to do something like that. And then if there's a difficulty and the army shoots somebody or shoots an assailant or whatever it is in defence of a guard or whatever it is, there'll have to be a full investigation into that because they're not permitted to do that.
Yeah.
So that's you know, that's the difficulty, you know. But again, they're all bridges that you would have to cross if you were to do something as what you're suggesting.
Yeah, no, but maybe there is room for something there that it might be that these guys would be dressed up in army, you know, in an army outfit or whatever, but that there would be another or something else created to allow that to happen, some sort of relationship between army and guards, and then there's another organization.
Can I ask both of you, by the way? Sorry, Stephen and Jackie. What are we going to do when we're watching the Garda numbers depleting on a yearly basis? There are more guards this year again retiring than being recruited, right? So we're aiming for a number of, well, 18,000, I heard, was the target. Where even if we can get to 15,000, it'd be good. We're down around 12. What are we going to do if we can't get people to go into the Garda Síochána? Because, Stephen...
Pay them more, Niall. Pay them
properly. I don't know if money is the... I don't know if they'll go for the money. Will they? I mean, if you turn around and said instead of starting off on 30,000 or 33,000 in your first year, you're on 45 or 50. I don't know whether that's enough to entice people into it. Stephen, what do you do? I mean, I did see a video during the week where they were recruiting in a mosque, which I thought was bizarre. But, I mean, what do you do, Stephen?
Well, I agree. Maybe a better starting wage is not the way to go. But you also do away with stupid rules that say, you know, police can't have visible tattoos or anything like that. We upped the recruitment age from 33 to the maximum recruitment age to 50-something.
Well, yeah, we've done all of that. We've did away with the beard rule. We did away with the haircut rule. We did away with the height rule.
We can't pass a fitness test. We simplified the fitness test. We're making it as easy as we possibly can. But if people don't want to do it, then it says a lot about the way society is at the moment. And because
we all know why people don't want to do it.
It's a lot easier to get robbed, to get worse.
Yeah, because young Stephen and young Jackie are coming out of school and they're going to college. They'd much rather sit behind a computer and design software and earn 80 or 90 grand a year than run around the street in a uniform at a risk of being killed.
Yeah, but sure, if you're getting 30,000, how are you going to afford enough to live somewhere and then put your life at risk for 30,000?
That was the other thing. You need a combined income of 120,000 just to be able to rent or buy in Dublin. You know, it's society is, as a lot of people have said, at a fucking shit level, and it's easier to get worse than it is to get better because we're not willing to do things that are going to make it better. I don't want to be walking around O'Connell Street with a couple of armed Gardaí or army officers walking around beside me.
I mean, I remember walking around New York many, many years ago, and it was not long after 9/11. And, you know, there was police on every corner with, you know, AK-47s or whatever it was they would have had at the time. Mm. And, you know, there was an element of feeling very safe when you saw them, because you said, nobody's going to act the fool in front of these fellas. Do you know what I mean? There is that. And the same up in Northern Ireland, you know, when you walk through Belfast and you know the police service, the PSNI are armed, there is an element of feeling a little bit safer because you know no one's going to act the fool. Well, now people...
But people say the exact same thing down here about our unarmed Gardaí, that they feel safe whenever they see them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So we need to triple the numbers and put weapons in every police station in the country so that if they're needed, the police that are there can use them.
Okay, well, hang on for a second. Let me go to Billy as well. Stay there, Stephen and Jackie. Billy, go ahead.
No, I have a pain in my head.
Why?
I've heard people say, we bring the army on to do this. Just to set the record, the army are not police. The army are not trained to be police. The army are trained to fight wars and to partake in peacekeeping operations overseas. It is very different from a civilian policing environment.
Law enforcement
agency, And if you put the army on the streets, you are de facto declaring martial law. And no one wants martial law because it's not the way it works. The last thing I'll say on the army is think back to Operation Banner in Northern Ireland, where you had the British Army on the streets of Northern Ireland for 35 years doing patrols and going through people's front gardens and camouflage with assault rifles the whole time. That is not the solution here. It is never the solution. Not in a country that has a civilian policing force and where the rule of law still exists to an extent and hasn't completely broken down. So that's the first point. If people want to see an armed police force, you're going towards what's called a constabulary or a gendarmerie, one or the other. Constabulary being the British version, where you have the British police, where there's some of them that are armed, like in places like Newcastle, a constabulary force like the Royal Mounted Constabulary in Canada, or you're looking at gendarmeries like they have on the continent, where France, the police in Germany and Italy would be gendarmeries. So we're looking at changing the model of policing there. Again, not going to be a popular call to the people in Ireland. The best thing, as one of your contributors said there before she mentioned the army, would be to have an expansion of the armed response units in different counties and let them operate separately to the standard guard. But every guard should at least be carrying a taser and probably pepper spray as well as a deterrent.
Well, they all do carry pepper spray now, don't they?
I'm not sure if it's in for everyone.
I don't think everyone does.
But it should be.
Okay, I thought that was
it. It should be a deterrent. Now, that's my opinion of what would be popular with the public here. I do believe that arming the guards is probably somewhere where we are going to get to in the next 20 years. For context, the guards have always been armed in one form or another. My grandfather was a guard in Dublin in the 1950s. He was armed with a revolver when he was doing duties at the Marts in Dublin. So this is something...
I know, detectives have always been armed.
He was not a detective.
No, I'm just saying detectives were.
They were, and he was not a detective. He was a uniform member of the force in the 1950s.
Yeah.
So they were armed at that time. One thing that I'd like to pull you on as well, Niall, is you said, that's not the Dublin I remember. I'm assuming Dublin, when you were growing up, Niall, there was the troubles going on. There was, you know, there was bank robberies. So you can look back with rose-tinted glasses.
I did admit I'm looking back at rose-tinted glasses, yeah.
There's always been an element of armed criminality in this country. It has always been.
But not to the extent. Now maybe I'm wrong, Billy. Maybe I am looking back completely.
But hang on, there was
a time in this country where somebody was murdered, and it was the national news, and you know people were told to remain indoors until they caught the culprit, and it was an oddity. It was an unusual situation.
We have definitely become desensitized to the levels of violence that are there. The likes of Martin Kahl would have been seen as being an ordinary, decent criminal back in the day, but he was a violent individual.
Mm-hmm.
John Gilligan, another violent individual. Like we have had a history of violent individuals that got notoriety through the media in this country over the last 60 or 70 years. You know, it's just the way it has been. And I think, you know, things are bad now, especially with what happened in Drimna at the weekend, where a young man was murdered with an AR-15. Now, look, it's a case that the criminals, obviously an AR-15 can't be legally purchased. They are bringing these in illegally. And that needs to be an intelligence-led operation by the guards and other intelligence services. Like, we do not have...
Where are they... By the way, pardon my ignorance, but where are... You know, where's Johnny Scumbag buying an AR-15?
Probably illegally coming in from the US now.
Okay.
Probably being shipped in a container and not getting checked.
Okay, under a bunch of tomatoes.
It needs to be an intelligence-led organization. We do not have the resources in national intelligence to bring this in, you know, to prevent this from being brought in. We don't have the budget there to keep them. And as you said, the guards are on the floor in terms of strength with 12,000. The commissioner, whether you like the man or not, has made a very valid claim that there needs to be 18,000 guards.
Yeah.
How do you get the 18,000 guards? You improve pay, you improve conditions, you listen to the Gardaí unions, you look at the shifts that they're looking to do, and you try and make it work. Because if not, and here's the other thing, Niall, Western Australia police came over here a couple of weeks ago and tried to recruit guards from Ireland.
Yeah.
And Ireland, the Irish guards, as opposed to those in America. So if you become a police officer in America, your training is a couple of months. If you become a police officer in Ireland, the UK, or most of Europe, you have 2 years of training before you become a police officer. So our police are exceptionally well-trained and well-versed in matters of law, and they are sought after in other parts.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And generally 95% are set of good, hard-working people who want the right thing for the who want to protect the country, right? But, you know, what I did say, and I said to Stephen and some of the callers earlier on, when you arrive at a dangerous situation, you know, be it a bank robbery or a hostile situation where you have, you know, people who are armed and you don't have a gun and you have to wait for the ARU or the ERU to arrive, you know, I mean, and depending on where you are in the country, that could be quite some time. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's a human resources issue. That is a staffing issue. If you have 18,000 and you look at the numbers and you say, how many do we need to have on to have an ERU unit in each district within a 20-minute radius of an event happening? You know, that's a planning issue that the guards need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Stephen who mentioned being somewhere and feeling safer with armed police, or was it you?
I mentioned it, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You go down, I'm sure you saw the thing with the portal that they opened up yesterday.
Yeah, yeah,
New
I
York.
Saw it. And I was video, there, I was actually that, there yesterday, yeah. Yeah.
The video of the guard of the guards going around removing an individual. Like, I don't know who came up with that portal, but it's not going to do our overseas tourism any favors if some of the scenes that were there are repeated. But like, you know, if you go through Paris, if you go through Berlin, Munich, anywhere in the main thoroughfares, you have lots of police, very visible, always there, walking around the place. They're not in cars driving around. You know, yeah. They are on the street. And the same in Belfast. One of the resounding memories going near the courts complex in Belfast was 8 PSNI officers all walking around. You know, they weren't responding to anything. They were just out and about, walking about. There was a visible police presence. And, you know, that will do away with your petty crime when there's a visible police presence. It's the broken windows thing that Rudy Giuliani had in New York, yeah, back in the 90s and 2000s, where, you know, if you take care of a broken window, if you fix it, or if you don't let it happen, prevent it from happening, it doesn't continue. So, you know, having a visible, yeah, police presence.
Okay, thank you for that, Billy. Let me just go to Morgan as well. Morgan, hi, how are you?
Good, Niall, how are you?
Good. Morgan, you've heard Stephen arguing against, and Billy, the idea of an armed police force in these more dangerous times, I suppose, with, you know, crime on the increase. Do you believe we need an armed police force?
No, it's the last thing we need. Just so people know, since the foundation of the state, 89 guards have died. In the last 15 years, 220 Irish citizens have died either directly in Garda custody or directly after Garda custody. What I think we need is, at the moment we have the government who are armed, through the guards and the army, and the criminals who are armed. And the law-abiding citizen doesn't have the option to be armed. And I know it's very scary for people to think that, okay, well, the solution to this might be that Irish citizens have the right to bear arms and protect themselves. Obviously, that would need to be a big conversation.
That would be a dreadful conversation. Yeah, go on.
Well, I don't think so, because if we look at what's happening on the streets at the moment, you've seen those videos of, you know, people being assaulted on the streets, and everybody stands back in horror, gets out their mobile phone and starts recording.
But the last thing I want is citizens pulling out guns.
But you don't need that. But I was saying, like, so in the event, say we have somebody, you know, with an AR-15 who walks into a supermarket or something. Like, all the guards can do is react to that. So, you know, 10 or 15 people will die by the time the guards get there. So if we have, you know, even a sample of citizenry, say the best of our citizens, 10,000 citizens or 20,000 citizens to begin with, are armed and can carry a handgun with them around the streets. And if that was to happen, well, then it's a case of, okay,
Morgan, are you really thinking this through? Because I don't want a situation where, you know, the citizens in the supermarket suddenly decide, oh, I've got a gun on me, I'll just shoot this guy now, it'll be grand before the police arrive.
But that doesn't happen, because we all have access to knives, so we're not all going around killing each other or stabbing each other with knives, you know. People have to realise that the guards can't care about your community. If I was a guard, I'm not going into some shithole to risk my life.
I mean, I get what you're saying about America, and they do say that some people having guns prevents violence, right? And so I do get what you're saying about the United States, but the United States has been in that position since the Civil War, right, and the right to bear arms, right? So they've always had that, and that's not good. No matter what anybody says, by the way, that's not going away, because it'll never happen, right? That part of the Constitution will remain in America forever. But I don't know whether I want to see a situation. Stephen, are you listening to what Morgan is saying? One at a time. Sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
Hi. Okay, go, Stephen.
Well, Morgan has a point. Go on. I'll come in afterwards.
Yeah, so I'm saying, with the right to bear arms as well in America, that was there for in the event that the state goes rogue, you know, so people can...
Yeah, but that was at a time when a gun was a small object with a little tiny little weenie bullet that probably wasn't capable of killing too many people.
Yeah, but the government then had cannons as well, you know, so our government had tanks. So, you know, in the event that there's a civil war between the Irish citizenship and the government, the Irish citizens can't win. They can only have a guerrilla war, which, you know, happened back in, you know, for a couple of times for the last 700 or 800 years. That's the only way we can do it.
I think we believe we're more civilized than that now anyway. Oh, sorry, I do want to get Stephen's viewpoint on that. Yeah, sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
This is my whole problem with, you know, if we start creating situations where we need more guns, the police need guns, we need guns, but the criminals will get more guns. Now we're moved. Then we move to a stage where I have to carry a gun in order to feel safe, or the teacher in the classroom has to carry a gun in order to feel safe, or the checkout worker in Dunn's has to carry a gun, or there has to be a gun on the premises in order to feel safe. That is a ridiculous scenario to get to. We should never, ever get anywhere near anything like that in this country.
I have to come back in, but you live in pie in the sky. But that's the way society works, and people have to... The big problem here is people don't recognise their dumb people.
Hang on, let me finish the point.
A lot of people in this country, refuse to acknowledge that there's a dark side to humanity. Like, look at every country in the world that arms themselves. They don't arm themselves because... for no reason. Like, we have, you know, nuclear weapons, so we have mutually assured self-destruction. And that's been the biggest deterrent from people basically, you know, letting off nuclear weapons. We have to recognize that people are dangerous, irrespective, not all the time, but there's
nobody's
a potential there for people to be dangerous. And if you strip people's ability to protect themselves, you essentially leave them helpless. So we see what happens when the guards are told to do something, they will do it, because they're trained to do it. And if you have a rogue government who tells the guards to do something, they will do it. And the same with an army, they will do it. And it leaves the citizens defenseless. If you have criminals who are basically armed to the teeth, it leaves the citizens defenseless, because all the guards can do is arrive after the fact. Okay. And they're not going to go into a ghetto to protect people that don't even respect them to begin with.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there, both of you, because I want to go to Carl, who knows a lot about firearms as well. He's a firearm holder. Carl, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall? How are you?
Good. I mean, now that surprises me completely that Morgan believes, you know, the Second Amendment of the United States is probably a good way to go, which is, you know, the right to bear arms.
Listen, the amount of firearms in this country, if I told you how many licenses I get.
250,000, isn't it? 250,000. Licensed firearms.
Well, there's a bit more than that. I won't go into the full.
Yeah, most are farmers and stuff like that. Yeah, but go on.
No, they're not. Most of them are civilians like myself. I'm licensed to carry four different firearms, or to have four different firearms in my possession at any time that I want. Now, you're on about the guards being armed. It's a controversial subject. First of all, the guards will have to know what exactly they're doing. Most of the firearms officers in Dublin police stations and the country police stations haven't got a clue about firearms. It's gone so bad that people now who do hunting have to have a license for a telescopic sight, which the guards have classified as a firearm. It's bullshit. Pure bullshit. The guards don't know what they're doing themselves.
Now, you did say you could carry your firearm anywhere you want. You can't. There's no license in this country that allows you to bring it out onto the street.
If I am going to do target practice, I can bring the gun. I can bring a gun
in the boot of your car.
If I'm going
in the boot of your car, you can't have it on the passenger seat.
No. The way the law works is you now must have your rifle or your shotgun in a locked case in the boot of your car, and no ammunition.
Yep.
Can be accessible by either the driver or the passenger as well.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, our gun laws are very strict over here.
Yeah.
They're one of the strictest in Europe. And the criteria to actually get a license is fairly strict as well. Yeah, it's not just a matter of going...
We established that, but Morgan believes everyone should have the right, similar to the United States, by the way, once you have a PPS number, that you can go in and buy a gun.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I'll put it to Morgan.
That's
a bit of a misrepresentation.
Morgan, it depends on what state you're in America, by the way. It's different.
Yeah, no, I just mean for our case here in Ireland, I would put forward that somebody must be minimum age of 25, would obviously have to be psychologically assessed and have serious...
What does psychological assessment even mean? That you've never been in a mental health facility, for example? I don't know. I mean, I know in America, some states insist, by the way, that you have psychological assessment. But it doesn't work. You can buy a gun in a flea market in America.
Getting back to,
because I don't have much time. Should we arm the guards now? Are we at a critical point in Irish history where, you know, we're seeing crime on the increase? We're seeing, you know, knife crime and gun crime on the increase over the last few years, the last decade, certainly. So are we at a point where they need to be armed?
No, if you arm the guards, you are going to get more underworld figures having more and powerful firearms better than the guards have in this country. And that's already being said.
I mean, you look at the troubles up the
north.
Yeah,
but they already have those. But they already have powerful firearms. But the morning there in Drimna, it was an AR-15.
No, but the guards do not have access to an AR-15. The criminal underworld are using AK-47s.
The guards have MP7s. The armed response unit have MP7s. The armed response unit have fully automatic weapons. They have automatic shotguns. They have handguns. There's no
different to an AK-47. It's completely an MP7, different to an AK-47.
An MP7 is an automatic rifle.
Look, you're missing
and look,
what I'm
many,
saying.
How many guards have been shot? How many guards have been shot by criminals or citizens in this country? So 89 of them have died since the foundation of the state. 220 people have died in Garda custody in the last 15 years. 31
okay.
in 2022.
How many guards have committed suicide with their own service revolvers? You know, bring that into it as well.
Yeah, I don't know how many people commit suicide.
Yeah, I mean, with the greatest respect, Morgan, I could probably count on two hands in my lifetime how many guards have been shot in the line of duty.
Yeah, none. Yeah. So criminals are concerned with criminals. The guns come in with the drug shipments. It's that simple. They're put in as a kicker.
Yeah.
For you know, when
okay.
we.
Well, I don't have much time, and we're going off on a bit of a tangent.
No one has a good reason to.
Oh, I've lost Stephen there. Sorry, I've lost him when he was talking in the middle of him talk there. To apologise. Sorry, Stephen. Finish what you were saying. Sorry, go ahead.
I said the long and the short of it is nobody speaking on this has ever had a good reason to arm the guys.
Yeah, well, give me a good reason. Thank you for that, Stephen. Sorry, I have to clear up some lines here. And Karen, I'll be with you in a second. Give me a good reason, Carl, why we should arm or why we shouldn't.
No, I don't think you should arm the guards. If you do arm the guards, you are going to get more illegal firearms into this country. Okay. I mean, they're coming in droves anyway, but you're going to get a lot more and a lot more people are going to be armed.
Okay, we'll stay there for a second because I want to bring... Okay, I need to bring Karen in as well. I've got so many people to go to and I've only got 5 minutes left. Karen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. To answer your question, yes, I do believe Gardaí. Look, it's sad that we are now reaching 2024 that we're even having this discussion. But the reality is, everything has changed in this country. Violence is on the rise of all sorts. So I do believe we should train the Gardaí. And I think they should have weapons. I think they should, yes.
And would it make you feel safer? Would you feel safer knowing that if an incident happens in your village or your town or wherever it is, that the guards that arrive on the scene, the first responders have a gun in their hand? Does that make you feel safer?
It would. Now, look, where I live, I'm so remote anyway, like crime is just virtually doesn't exist. But I imagine if I were to live in like Dublin or Limerick or some of the big cities, that if you call a Gardaí that's going to come, yes, I would feel more safer. And I understand, I'm listening to all the arguments back and forth and I agree, like,
Morgan believes that the citizens, that we should all be allowed to carry guns.
I was just going to say, yes, and I've always said that as well. I always believe in that. As a citizen, that somebody breaks into my house. Now, granted, I do agree, Morgan, you should be over 25 years of age, psychological assessment. I hear you saying too, well, that's just, you know, you're never locked in a mental asylum. Fair enough. But there should be very, very strict laws around that. But I do believe that citizens should also be armed as well. Absolutely. I'm fully, fully supportive.
And if it was legal, would you have a gun in your house, Karen?
God, I think I would. I think I would.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think I would. And I think, look, you have to be very careful because you've got children in the house too. You've got to make sure.
There has to be rules around it. Could be lockboxes
and
all sorts of things.
But I do. I'm a strong, strong advocate for the Second Amendment in America, and I would love to have that same right here in this country.
Okay. That's a whole other conversation, and I didn't think many people would agree with Morgan, but I'm surprised that loads of people are texting and agreeing with it.
100%. Yeah. But on the issue of Gardaí being armed, I do agree. Because, look, I've seen many. Like, remember, I understand there's always going to be bad actors in every profession. There's plenty of bad Gardaí out there. But we cannot come along and tarnish every one of them with the same brush. Mm. And any one of us that find ourselves in trouble, we ring 999, ring a local Garda station. You know, we have to have faith in these people. And these people are just regular men and women who go into the force, they train. And then, you know, we depend on them to go out every day and fight for us and to defend our country and defend our streets. And, you know, it's got to the point where things have become very, very violent. The streets have become very violent. I've seen many, many footages online of Gardaí smashed in heads, broken, shot. I've seen many of it. So it has become very, very dangerous. However, I do. What we saw last week in Newtown, Mount Kennedy was an absolute disgrace. And it should never happen.
It was bad policing. Of course it was.
Absolutely. But we can't come along and say, okay, that's the reason we can't have armed Gardaí. I don't agree with that either. We should be. But at the same time, then that comes from the top. I mean, who at the end of the day, that comes down to a scenario of I'd like to see exactly what happened in behind the scenes and all of that. Who gave the order? The Minister for Justice, was she aware? Was the Taoiseach aware?
I believe the Superintendent Bray or something, whatever it was, who gave the order.
I think that came from further up. I think there's an awful lot going on in the background that we're not aware of, because that ties into the immigration. It's a completely different argument. Okay. But what happened in Newtown Mount Kennedy was a disgrace, but I still believe we should arm our Gardaí. Yes.
Okay, thank you for that, Karen.
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you for that, Karen. Let me just go to Tony. Tony, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you? Good afternoon. Lovely to get a bit of sunshine, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is nice. It's actually, I was tempted to take off my jacket for the last 20 minutes here. It's very warm. Go ahead.
All right, like what I was going to say, like the Garda is just another part of the system that's failing abysmally. Just like that last lady took the words out of my mouth, the behaviour in Newtown Mount Kennedy has lost them an awful lot of
public. Okay, I agree with you that the behaviour wasn't
men
acceptable.
Men should not be attacking women, especially with their backs to them.
Look, I accept that. Let's not get it. We talked about that last week, and I agree with it, by the way. Let's not base the whole argument around what happened in Newtown Mount Kennedy, or what happened on the May Day riots in 2002, or what happened on incidents where the guards went too far.
What if one of them guards just had a gun? What if one of them guards had a gun? You're always going to get the lunatics. There's bound to be one lunatic in there that was smacking women with batons, and there's a 15-year-old child. What if he had the gun? Like, is he going to shoot the people?
Yeah, no, I know that argument.
And that was the thing that I was making. That was purely the argument I was making. I wasn't bringing up that specifically.
Okay, but generally speaking, let's park what happened. And I know it's difficult, but let's park what happened in Newtown Mount Kennedy for the moment. You know, when we see the increase in crime over the last couple of decades, certainly in this country, and, you know, we've seen more homicides than we would have seen, you know, 30, 20 years ago, whatever. I mean, is it time now that the standard guard on the street, the rank and file, is it time that he had a gun or she?
No, I think they've proven that they can't be trusted. They can't be trusted with a gun, no, because if you put a baton in the hand, they're going to use that. Put a pepper spray in the hand, they're going to use that indiscriminately. So no, they can't be trusted.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, I mean, they can't be trusted, according to Tony. Now, I do know that Newtown Mount Kennedy is an anecdotal issue. And you know, there are lots of... I can give other instances like Newtown Mount Kennedy where I believe guards behaved in the wrong fashion, but that's up to them to do their own internal investigations.
Yeah, what happens if they have a gun, Niall?
Okay, well, like, Carl, would you agree with him, Carl?
Yeah, I don't think guards should be armed. I really don't. I'm going to say 2 points now before I go, right?
Okay.
There is only 6 armed response units in the whole of Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
Only 6.
Yeah.
And they cover the whole country. Now, the other thing I'm going to say is, you give anyone a gun, they can go out and shoot paper targets all day, and they become brilliant at it. When you come to take someone's life or an animal's life, it's completely different. And it's not as easy as people may think. That's all I'm going to say.
But there was that psychological argument made once that human beings of the animal kingdom, of course, us human beings, are 9 times more likely to kill each other for no particular reason than any other animal in the animal kingdom. You know, when we look at other animals and we think other animals are barbaric, we're actually the worst.
Yeah, we are the worst. But, like, I mean, I go out, I shoot, I hunt. I do hunt. I shoot deer, I shoot rabbits, I shoot pheasants. But that's me. I only shoot what I can eat. I don't shoot. Decimate the whole population of everything. It's like if I gave you a gun tomorrow, Niall, and I said, "Here, there's a target at 50 meters down."
I couldn't shoot a rabbit.
No, and most of the people won't hit a target, and most of the guards.
No, it's not about hitting the target. I just wouldn't have it in me to shoot a rabbit. You know what I mean?
Well, would you eat them?
No, I love animals. I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. I just wouldn't have it in me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look.
I mean, whatever floats your boat, I'm not having a go at you. I'm not judging you, Carl. I'm just saying, you know, I would
understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I still think, no, the guards should not be armed.
Okay, well, let me go to Jessica. Jessica, you've heard Tony there saying, you know, after their performance last week in Newtown Mount Kennedy, he doesn't trust the guards.
No, I understand that, but at the same time, I do feel like there are decent guards out there. I'm not going to say there isn't. And, like, if I was a guard, like, that's why I couldn't be a guard. I'm more or less going out with no protection and anyone can shoot me, but I have nothing to defend myself.
Would you like to have a gun? I mean, Morgan suggests we all should carry guns.
It's not that I'd want it. It's just, if I was a guard and I had one, at least I know I have some sort of better protection than a baton or a pepper spray, whatever they have, because it's not a lot. Because what do we do if, God forbid, right, touch wood, some psycho goes into town with an AK-47, what do we do? We wait for the six armed units? No, like you need them there and then to stop them. And I don't mean in a bad way, but at least if they had arms, if they were armed, they'd probably get a lot more respect out of everyone. Like,
but I mean, when you look at what the criminals have nowadays, I mean, look at the other morning in Drimla, of course, there was two bulletproof vests, obviously, as well, reclaimed from that particular incident, as well as a pipe bomb and an AR-15. So, I mean, it's clear that the criminals seem to be more tooled up than the guards do.
Yeah, we expect them just to be out there trying to stop them with no protection while they wait for the armed units. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And yet you see people like in New York or even Spain and all, you wouldn't say boo to them because of the way they're armed.
See, I mean, Tony, it's all well and good. Please park Newtown Manor County for the moment because I am agreeing with you on it. But generally speaking, with the Garda Force, it's all well and good saying they shouldn't be armed. But you're not the one walking out, you know, every day into danger where you don't know what you're dealing with.
I can say all that as well. Like in saying what I said, but just like a Garda's hands behind. Yeah, but just like it's tied behind his back most times when he's doing his job because of how it's run. It's just like the Department of Justice is also a failure. You had someone there the other day, he's caught a lot of child porn. He walked to the Department of
Justice. Yeah, Niall Colgan, yeah.
And he walked out.
Suspended sentence. Yeah, I know. And by the way, some of the images he had were of children under the age of 10.
That's what I mean. Like, we haven't, there's so many things that are not functioning. Our health service is not functioning. There's loads of things that are not functioning because our country is... Simon Harris is a pathetic... He's pathetic at being Taoiseach. He's a pathetic man.
Pathetic at being Taoiseach, yeah. He's well, okay. Yeah.
Like Michael McNamara is just tearing them apart in the doll. He tore Helen McAtee apart. They can't even answer the questions. It's always, I can't talk about individual cases. I haven't got the figures in front of me. It's all...
Yeah, rubbish. You should have the figures. You're the head of the department. Yeah, I know.
No, but they're not functioning. This government is not a functioning government.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've run out of time. Sorry, Tony and Jessica, I really appreciate it. Sorry for cutting both of you short. You are right, Tony. It's not a functioning government, and that's why I've told everybody don't vote for them. Don't vote for the government parties when it comes to the local council or the local elections, the councils, and also the European elections and also the general election at the end of the year. Of course, you know I'm running in the European elections in the Dublin constituency. Thank you to everybody, by the way, for all your support. It's been amazing again. We were all around the south side of Dublin yesterday, down around Henry Street, handing out flyers and stuff like that. It's been really interesting meeting everybody and such a warm, lovely, lovely response when they realise you're not with the government parties, by the way. Only when they realise you're not with the government parties. So many people come over yesterday to say hello to me because they knew who I was. But the problem is when you're handing out leaflets, people look at you as a political canvasser and they assume automatically you're Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin or whatever it is, or the Green Party, and they hate you before they even meet you. And they're looking at you and, you know, and I'm just being honest with you, you go over and people are coming towards you and you're going, how you doing? You wouldn't give us a vote. And they're going, fuck off. And they're walking past you, but they take the flyer off you. And then they look at it, they come back and they go, oh, Jesus, no, sorry, I didn't know. You're independent, yeah, you're independent Ireland. I didn't know. Oh, yeah, I listen to you on the radio all the time. I'll give you a vote, whatever. But once they realise who you are, that just shows you how sick and tired people are of the government parties in this country. It's incredible. I am going to put a tweet up later on asking my opponents two simple questions. How many genders are there and what is a woman? Because I'm shocked to see that some of the female MEPs don't even know what a woman is. They were asked a simple question and they don't even know what a woman is. They're going to represent women in Europe and they don't even know what a woman is. How can you not know what a woman is? It's just incredible, the people we're sending over to Europe. And I did a video yesterday, actually, at the canal before they were moved on this morning at 6 o'clock. And in the video, I talked about the fact that the Minister for Justice and, you know, Simon Harris were making a complete hames of things, and that 80% of the people behind me shouldn't have even been in the country in the first place, because according to the minister's figures, 80% of the people have come from the United Kingdom. So clearly they've applied for asylum in another country apart from Ireland. So they shouldn't even be here. I put it up on TikTok and it was removed. And why was it removed? Because Commissioner Mann are now responsible, of course, for informing TikTok of what they believe is a breach of community standards. So now it seems that facts are a breach of community standards. The fact that I mentioned asylum seekers who shouldn't be in the country is a breach of community standards on TikTok. You can go onto TikTok and you can, you know, put up a video of your Mickey being cut off. It doesn't really matter. Whatever it is you want to put up on TikTok. Some of the mad stuff I've seen, by the way, from Gaza and Israel and Palestine and all that kind of stuff going up on TikTok. And that gets left up. But I put a video up explaining that, you know, these people, 80% of them, shouldn't even be here. saying that this is going to continue to happen, and it is continuing to happen because according to Dublin Life, they've just put out a report that they're already seeing new tents now being erected in Ringsend because the NGO is going around supplying them with tents. Anyway, and there'll be another 100 people by the end of next week. And because I put that video up describing that situation with factual information, it was removed from TikTok last night. It lasted a whole of about 6 seconds. So what that is, and I'm going to tell you what it is, that's other political parties who have notifications on my TikTok account that as soon as a video goes up, they look at it, and if they don't like it, they'll report it to TikTok. Because somebody has to report. An algorithm is not picking that up. Somebody's reporting it. And within seconds, TikTok are removing them because Commissioner Mann have said they're quite active in this field, in this sphere. Twitter is obviously different. They can't and they don't have the same control over Twitter because Twitter's not falling for that woke nonsense. But clearly TikTok are. And I think that's quite shocking because what we're doing now is we're controlling speech, we're controlling facts, we're controlling information that only the information the government wants you to have is what will end up on TikTok. And I think that's quite shocking, by the way. I think we've come to a very sad point when social media companies, who I respect, have to be regulated in some way when it comes to incitement to violence or whatever it happens to be. But certainly not, it shouldn't be regulated in the fact that the language that we use to describe things that are factual statements. I made factual statements. Anyway, please vote for me, don't forget, by the way. And we have a couple of voice notes here. Oh, we've got one from Neil, our good friend Neil. Yeah, sure. What day would go by without a voice note from Neil?
Release, he was to be deported.
Ah, no, yeah, listen to Stephen. Stephen of Nazareth. There you go. Yeah. He's the cause of the world's problems. The likes of him, the far, far left.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is, the likes of him and this planet. Cheers, Noel.
There you go. Stephen, yeah. Stephen is not a bad lefty, by the way. Stephen is a good lefty. He's one of the good lefties. He's willing to listen to other people, by the way. We got loads and loads of comments, by the way, coming in. Where are they? I'm going to read them out to you now. Hold on. I do apologise. Definitely more Gardaí needed to be trained with firearms. Let's have mass deportations first. Does somebody know? The Gimlet says, definitely they should be all armed. Fella says, Europe once liberal and high-trust countries becoming totalitarian police states isn't such a bad idea. If rapes and stabbings are through the roof, we should resist this and focus on getting our country back. If anyone's to be allowed arms, it should be the citizens. There's another person saying the same thing. Paul says, yes, let's meet the European standard. We are one of the very few without universally armed police. It's getting to be an embarrassment. Thank you to everybody, by the way, for tuning in again today. We've had a record week last week. Let's hope it's the same again this week because there's a huge interest in the show at the moment because I'm running for election as well. And please tell your friends, tell your family to vote for me because I am running as the Dublin constituent for Independent Ireland in the European elections on June the 7th. And I want you to vote for me. I will be the voice of common sense. I don't believe in 500 million genders. I do believe in a fair immigration policy. I do believe that people who are criminals shouldn't be getting into this country. I do believe in all of those common sense things. And I will fight for Ireland when anything like that arrives in Europe. And people keep saying to me, well, why Europe? Well, 75% of our legislation comes from Europe. And before we know it, it's brought in this country 4 or 5 years later after MEPs have signed it. Can I say well done, by the way? Congratulations to Ireland's current MEPs, the whole lot of them, because I have to say, we should give them all a trophy for being the best hide-and-seek champions in the world. Because for 4.5 years, they disappeared. We knew nothing about them. And all of a sudden, they're all back. They're on Twitter. They're opening supermarkets. You know, they're appearing everywhere. They're on radio. They're on television looking for your vote again. Don't give it to them. Please don't give it to them. They don't deserve it. They put their hand up for everything. They sold our sovereignty. They sold our laws, our immigration laws to Europe by voting, most of them, voting for the EU Migration Pact. And can I recommend as well to our listeners that you should listen back to a very interesting podcast we did with Owen Linehan some time ago, Dr. Owen Linehan. And it's called The Gaslighting of Irish Men. I'll put it up over the weekend, by the way. I'll pop it up on Twitter and Facebook if you can't find it. But if you go to our website, you'll find it. It's called The Gaslighting of Irish Men. And it's a lot to do with what we were talking about today, by the way. It's very relevant to what we're talking about today. Everybody, thank you. Please do vote for me on June the 7th. Tell your friends. And don't forget, by the way, if you want to take part or you want to contribute or you want to help or if you want to donate, because I noticed yesterday, by the way, Regina Doherty has like billboards and she has bus sides and all sorts of things. Now, obviously, I couldn't afford to do anything like that, nor could many of the candidates. So they have a huge advantage using your taxpayers' money, of course. It's supposed to be out of donations, but we all know what goes on there. Anyway, they have a huge advantage, by the way, of having more money than we have to obviously promote themselves. So if you can and you want to donate towards the campaign, we would love for you to do that, by the way. You can go to the website, nileboylinforeurope.ie. That's nileboylinforeurope.ie. Or indeed, by the way, if you want to help us with the podcast, you can go to nileboylan.com. Please subscribe to our podcast. It's the only way that this podcast can survive. So please do subscribe, nileboylan.com. If you want to go there, you can subscribe separately to the podcast. Thank you very much indeed to everybody. Thank you for all your support of both the podcast and obviously me being elected, hopefully, and successfully elected on June the 7th to represent you, the people of Ireland and the people of Dublin. Thank you. We'll be back again tomorrow.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.